Good morning. Who turned off the heat out there? Spring has sprung a leak. Did you say rough? Well, Jane, come up and tell us about that, will you? No, that's actually a serious question, though, isn't it? I mean, who did you love and who at all? I could still be sleeping, I guess. But I'd rather be here, wouldn't you? Yes. Well, it's about half. Good. Did you pay attention when you blessed yourself with the sign of the cross?
Yes.
Good. Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
We're not inclined. You thought of God as being freely creative. You thought of God as being artistic. Not very often, right? I think it's fair to say, and I think it's really reasonably true, that Jesus was not particularly religious. Now, that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But he wasn't particularly religious. Jesus was particularly loving. He was particularly free to creatively and freely be for others. He was Jewish. He believed in the Jewish faith and the Jewish religion. He practiced it, but he also challenged it, and he did not allow himself to be limited by it. We can see, at least minimally, the creativity of God in the creativity of Jesus. When or how did Jesus come up with these various image or titles for himself? They're not really titles, but they're words of expression that I think creatively, if we're able and willing to look at it that way, you know, religion isn't just like in a box. It's not one size fits all. Because God is not limited in any way. You may have had a very rough week, but it might have been a spiritually deepening week. It may have been very challenging, but God is in all these movements and all these realities. Today we have the image of the Good Shepherd. How is it that Jesus thought of that? In some ways it's obvious because there are seven I am statements of Jesus in John's gospel. At least three or four of them, maybe more, Jesus draws clearly from the Old Testament. The vine, I am the vine, you are the branches. Israel was the vine of God. The Good Shepherd refers to all the poor or bad shepherds of the Old Testament, those leaders and kings of Israel who were only for themselves, who cared little about their sheep, who were starving and living in oppression while the king lived in opulence. I am the Good Shepherd. So let's look at those. Don't miss the fact that they're I am statements. We don't necessarily need to be impressed by the intelligence of Jesus because he was simply free in his creativeness, and simply the freedom of love. These I am statements are more than metaphors. They're not just images. It initially and foundationally comes from the experience of the burning bush, speaking of creativity. And Moses is there, and he hears the voice of God, "Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground." Takes off his shoes. He's obedient. And then God conveys to Moses that he's calling him and he's going to be the liberator of his people, Israel, from slavery. And what does Moses say? Well, yeah, right. You know, how's that going to work? Who am I going to say sent me to do this? And God said, you tell the Pharaoh, I am sent you. I am is my name. They are words, simple, difficult to understand, maybe a broader interpretation. I am who am. I am who am with you always. So Jesus aligns the I am statements with himself. They're direct statements of the identity of Jesus in God as God. Rarely, if ever, does Jesus say to people, I mean, it's just too blunt and too direct, I'm God, I'm the Son of God, and I'm going to save you. You can either accept me or reject me, but the fact is, I'm God. It wouldn't go too well, would it? So he uses images. And those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, they get it. So, and if we took the time to notice outside the edges and corners of religion, how these things can be quite applicable to our lives. I am the light of the world, he says. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the gate, or sometimes interpreted, I am the door. The sheep gate. We enter the sheepfold through the gate. Jesus is the gate. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. Now, if we only looked at these in a religious frame, they're consoling. I don't really want to say sentimental, but they're good images because they do convey, even on the most surface of levels, the images of how God is. How is Jesus, the Christ, light of the world? Because he dispels the evil and darkness of sin and the light of goodness and truth. How do you see that in your life? Well, a handful of people or more in various settings have said to me so many times in the recent weeks, you know, I'm so discouraged by all the darkness and war and chaos in the world and politics and, well, I'm not going there. It's wearying. And it's a beautiful time to say, well, you don't you forget. Jesus is the light of the world, and it is a light that no darkness will overcome. That's a statement of faith. I am the bread of life. The bread of life that feeds our hunger for meaning and purpose and direction and a goal in life. It is literally our identity in God, as well as quite literally bread for the body given by the compassionate for those who have no food. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to God because he is God. Again, it's the beauty of the incarnation that, you know, we needed, you know, that little girl that said, oh, you know, the boogeyman at night was bothering her, and the mom comes in and says, no, you're fine, you can go back to sleep, and, you know, God will be with you. And what does the kid say? I need a God with skin, the incarnation. So we see God in Jesus because Jesus is that truth and that life of God. I am the vine, you are the branches. It's an image of union. No one can love themselves perfectly or anybody else all by themselves. But that's my homily for next week. You want to hear it? Who said no? Was that? Confessions are on Saturday, young lady. It's an image of union. Separated from love, we can do nothing fruitful in our lives, let alone be more fully and growing as a human being. And all the others. The Good Shepherd. How do these things come to mind? Because Jesus is free in love, and he wants to convey that love in creative and effective ways, not in some, you know, tight religious expression of do this and don't do that and operate this way and behave that way, because then you'll be pleasing to God. Isn't religion a little bit too much like that? The vine and the branches maybe is an image of the gardener. You know, a big part of that imaging is pruning. It's fun to prune. I like to prune bushes and trees to enhance their shape in the next season to see the new buds that come out. You know, any good farmer or gardener, particularly one who has fruit trees, will typically prune off at least a third of the fruit, particularly the fruit that, so that the rest of the fruit can come to full size. You say, wow, you wasted all that fruit. Yeah, but all the other ones are in their fullness, you see. What makes Jesus the good shepherd? He says very clearly, I am the good shepherd because I laid down my life for the sheep. Unlike any king in the Old Testament of Israel, Jesus, the divine one, will and has given his life for us who are the sheep. Again, it's an image of tender care. It's one of the most common and most beloved images of Jesus in the Gospels. His protective care, so that lest we be snatched by the wolf, all the deceptive ways and disorders of the world that can pull us away so subtly we just don't realize it, that somehow then religion isn't so appetizing because the world is so immediately satisfying. That's the wolf. And yet Jesus, if we align ourselves and stay close to him, will know his presence in a loving way. Why does Jesus use these kind of images and titles? Because they invite faith, they secure hope, and if we allow, they will instill God's life in us. What might be your favorite? Do you really like bread of life, light of the world, vine in the branches, the gate, good shepherd? What might be your favorite? You could pray with that. Forget about religion. I don't mean forget about God. Forget about the edges and corners of religion, and just creatively. If you work with wood, for instance, I'm surprised Jesus didn't have, I guess he couldn't say, oh, I am a block of wood, you know? But if you draw, or if you're an artist of some kind, we're all artistic in some way, see God in that. Part of these things is to make God more human, more approachable, more kindly. The relationship we have with Jesus through these images is really the primary and premier, most essential relationship any of us will ever have. And you say, well, Father, that's a bit of an overreach, but it isn't. Really, it isn't. Think of it this way. Think about right now, think about the person you most love in this, the three people you most love in this world, if there are three. Maybe there's more. If you're married, if you're not, I can look out now and probably name at least 10 people that are widowed even in the last few months. Change of life there. Change of life. The way you pray is going to be different. Because the source and the immediacy of the love of a spouse or a child or a parent who has since gone to the Lord. Isn't that going to change that interaction in the way you're remaining or continuing to love that person? Absolutely. Is it going to change the way you perceive, recognize, or want to recognize God? All these ways, all these other relationships of love enhance and reveal the evidence of God. That's exactly why marriage is a sacrament. So consider the person you most love. If it's not your spouse, don't tell them. I presume it is. somewhere, somehow, if you're loving that person, God will be revealed to you in that. Religion isn't going to tell you that. Your heart will tell you that. Your body, your sentiment, your emotions will tell you that. But when you're feeling the love of another person and they're telling you and you're experiencing that. I like to watch The Cabin Masters. Thank you. One person here likes to watch that. And in their little introduction, it's in Maine, and there's a group of carpenters, and they build cottages, and it's fun to watch. But anyway, in the introduction to the program, they're all kind of introducing, they're playing the little ditty song, and I forget the names, and there's a husband-wife team. She's kind of the creative designer, and he's one of the carpenters. And in the introduction to the program, she says, "I love you." And he says from afar, "I can feel it." God is present. No one would say, "Oh, I got to go to church," when that happens. But that's God, isn't it? So if you think about the person or persons you most love, wouldn't you say, "Well, they're my best friend"? A lot of married couples say that to me. We're married 50 years because we've been best friends. Because I trust and love and find security and commitment in and with and through and for that other person. That's how we can be and are called to be with God. So that when Jesus gives us the image of the Good Shepherd, could he have simply said, wouldn't fit Scripture so much, "I am the good friend. I am the beloved of the lover." I made that word up. I am the beloved of the lover. Change the words. You get creative. You can't surprise God. Get creative. Now, we say that the ones we love, and we know the ones that love us, we can easily say, "Well, they're my best friend, and I trust and find security, etc." How many people can say that about God? And I know many do. Jesus is my best friend. He doesn't get on my nerves like a lot of other people. No, never mind. Have you ever said Jesus or God is your best friend? Again, some do. But we can take a few lines from the Gospels or the first letter of John. God is love, and where there is love, there is God. And as Jesus so beautifully said, "As the Father has loved me, so do I love you." It's no secondhand love. It's no third best friend love. The same immediate union of love that the Father pours into the life of the Son, that's the same love that with which Jesus is loving us, so that God is ever present to us, with us, and in us, in all that we do, all that we are, and all that we have. God is there. And you're thinking, "Oh, darn, you know, can't I get away with anything?" He's there. There's no secrets before God. So notice, when you're feeling grateful or warm or affectionate toward the one you love and who you know loves you, God is there. It's one of the reasons why Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. He's not merely a caretaker. He's not just a babysitter making sure the kids behave while the real teacher is away. That's the image, he says. He's not caring for the sheep because he gains an income or some kind of advantage. He cares for the sheep only out of love. And God's love for us is not dependent on our performance. So many people, Christian and unchristian, just human beings, feel so unworthy before God. How could I ever measure up? And where does that come from? Obviously, sin, the wounds and the realities of the world, self-esteem, the difficult things that happen to any or all of us, the hurts, the wounds, the losses, death, sadness, difficulty, you know, relationships, finding out, the list is long. But our performance is not indicative of God's love, because God's love is eternal and it's unchanging. Notice the words, "I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Do you know Jesus? Do you love and trust Jesus as Good Shepherd, as Light of the World, as Bread of Life, etc.? I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. The way Jesus knows the Father, he knows you. That'll make some people pretty nervous. If it makes us nervous and it seems scary and vulnerable, there's a remedy for that. Because the invitation is always to get to know Jesus more deeply so that we can relieve our concerns and fears. There is, the person is still there, a person at the seminary, and I taught there for 10 years and went to school there for 15 years, never mind, a few years. And I was always afraid of this person. I just thought, you know, that person was just a little too much and a little, you know. And, you know, once I had the opportunity to engage more, I was really almost humbled that there really was a mutual admiration between the person and myself. But somehow I let the fears and illusions or whatever get in the way, you see. It happens with God a lot. If you're afraid of God or if you're dubious about approaching God, pray more. Pray honestly. Pray from your heart. Tell God the good, the bad, the ugly, the worst, and the best of yourself. You're never going to feel God's patience, love, and care if you're just religiously offering devotional prayers. Now, those are good things. I hope you're praying the rosary. Powerful prayer. I hope you're praying the rosary for the church and for the world and maybe even for our parish. But if you want a personal relationship with Jesus, let's say through the image of the Good Shepherd, let God know, be bold or brave enough, humble enough to tell God all about yourself. Not that he doesn't know already, but it creates those bonds of love where you will begin to feel in a real way that God is real. Jesus is with you. He is a good shepherd who cares, who protects and defends and will rescue and save you in times of need. Will life be perfect? No. Will you still have rough days? Yes. But in the roughness and the challenges of life, you'll know that God is still there. Ponder these things. We all have different personalities. We have different gifts and charisms. Some people, you know, I couldn't draw a straight line if it killed me. You know, I'm not very artistic with a pencil or a paper or with ink or paint. But some people love that. Use your personality. Use the various aspects of your life and your personality to open yourself to know God in these wider, richer, creative ways of beauty and light. Nothing against church religion. We're pretty invested here, right? But it's not the only way to see and to know God. May God be praised by our worship and our prayer this day. May we know and love God, Jesus, as Good Shepherd, Light of the World, Bread of the World, etc. Use those images, break them open, so you can know and love Jesus more. Because the more you love Jesus, the more you're going to realize he loves you.